Good to see everybody this morning, glad that you're here. It's a beautiful day out, it is a little bit chilly, but it is the winter time, so we have to expect that. For everybody's information, several have asked me what is our situation, our status here at this point. And at this point, as of December 31st, I am retired. Retired, not retarded, keep that in mind. But as we discussed in our last business meeting, we still have to carry on. The committee is doing everything they can. They're calling people, they're inquiring. We have, as put in several of the schools of preaching, they've called some of our Christian colleges, and calling friends, calling everybody they know, just to inquire. The fact of the matter is, there is not an abundance of gospel preachers available. Now, there are preachers, and two men that our committee has talked to, when they started asking them some questions, were not sound in the faith. And there's nothing worse than having an unsound preacher, a preacher who has not really preached the Bible, or believed the truth, or adhered to the truth, can do incredible harm to a congregation. And sometimes people say, well, but he's such a nice guy. How could he be a false teacher? Well, he can still be a false teacher even if he's a nice guy. And we're not trying to just select somebody that's a nice guy. We want somebody who will preach the truth, teach the gospel, try to do as much evangelism as possible, visit people, be available for counseling when called upon, however he can help and serve in any way that's possible. But there's just not an abundance of men out there who fill that bill. But there is somebody. I don't know where he is. He may be in Oklahoma, he may be in Alabama, he may be in Connecticut, for all I know. But I believe somebody is out there that God has prepared a man that he will come. Now, as Larry mentioned in his prayer, we will be moving at some time in the future. But we have a lot of things that have to be done. We have tried to get things taken care of around the house. We still have a lot of yard work that we have to get done in the spring. A lot of things have to be taken care of. So we are not, at this point, going to be gone next week. We do not know how long we will be gone. And if the committee found a man next week and brought him in and said, yes, I can come, I can be here the 1st of February, will that be fine with me? That'd be wonderful. I'd be jumping up and down and say, yes, you have no greater supporter than me when you're here. But we don't have that at this point. But if you know somebody, and that may happen, it may be that somebody in the congregation happens to know someone or has a friend or they know of a preacher somewhere, they can call somebody in Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, wherever, it doesn't matter. And say, you know, would you be interested in coming down here and talking to our committee? You know, just give the name to the committee, give the phone number, let them contact the man and do their work. It is a difficult situation. I was talking to my doctor in December, and he said, what's going on in your life? I said, well, I'm about to retire. I said, the committee is working on somebody. And he said, oh, I've been on two committees in my church. He said, it is difficult. He said, it's the hardest thing. He said, I'd rather do anything else than be on that committee. He said, because it's hard. And so the committee needs your prayers. You may not know of a preacher, you may not be aware of anybody, but they can be supported by your prayers. Remember them daily, that they will find somebody. And that it may just be an accidental thing. One of our men may go to a lectureship or somewhere or to a gospel meeting, run into somebody, and all of a sudden find the right man. We don't know how it will be, but wherever he is, whoever he is, we just pray that God will bring him here and everything will work out. The congregation will grow spiritually, will grow numerically, will grow in our relationships with one another. Now let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that you are our God. You are a God of love, you are a God of compassion, God of grace, but you are also a God of truth, God of justice. We know, Father, that there is qualities are not contradictory. They're all together in your nature. We're thankful for that. Thankful that you sent your Son, your one and only Son, Jesus, to this world. Thankful that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to inspire men to write the pages of the Bible. We're grateful for that. Grateful for the church that Jesus founded, that he built, that he is the head of. We're grateful for that. Grateful that somebody has invited us and told us about the gospel. We're just thankful for that, for the example we've seen in our lives of good men and women, Christian men, Christian women, who, even though they weren't perfect, they were striving to do the best they could to live according to your word. Thank you for that. Thank you for the time we have to study. We pray in the name of Jesus and amen. Now this morning I want to look at two scriptures for our scripture reading. One will be just one verse, the other will be several verses. The first one is in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20.
Today we just want to give an introduction to the general idea of the eldership.
Now, one thing you should be aware of, that in the Bible, we have no separation between people as far as a difference of clergy and laity. The word clergy comes from a Greek word, clerikos, which is only found one time in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and it applies to the church. You are the clerikos, that is the heritage, is what it's translated. And that really means that the clerikos, the heritage, is God's people. In other words, if somebody says to you, are you clergy, you can say, well, I'm a part of the clerikos. I'm a part of the heritage. I'm a part of the church. And yes, I'm part of God's heritage. The word laity comes from another Greek word, which really means the people, laos. And that word is used all through the New Testament. But it's never used in a separate way from preachers. You don't have preachers as one group and the laity as another group. That's just not the case. There are three words that are used in the New Testament for preachers. They are called preachers, a preacher of the gospel, as Paul uses in Romans chapter 10. They are described as minister of the word, one who serves the word of God. And they are called evangelists. Now, I know in our society today, people think of an evangelist as a man who travels from town to town and he converts the sinner. Well, that's the Protestant idea of evangelist, but that's not the biblical idea. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist fulfilled by ministry. The point is that when one proclaims the gospel, when one proclaims the word, he is doing the work of an evangelist. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's trying to convert somebody. He may be doing that. He may talk to somebody about their soul. He may talk to somebody about obeying the gospel. That is part of the work of an evangelist. But if he preaches a message from the New Testament, that is also the work of an evangelist. If he's teaching somebody in their home at their kitchen table and they have a question about a Bible passage, he's doing the work of an evangelist. If he's comforting somebody who's got troubles and problems in their life, he is doing the work of an evangelist. So the work of an evangelist isn't just converting, it is any proclamation and influencing people for the gospel of Christ. Preachers are not called pastors. They are not called parsons. They are not called reverend. Anywhere in the New Testament, the word reverend is only used one time in the book of Psalms. It's used in regard to God. Now, every year of my life, I have received either a birthday card or a Christmas card. And on the Christmas card or the birthday card, I would say, to a great pastor, we're grateful for you. And I appreciate that thought. That's very nice. That's very kind. And I'm so grateful for it. But I'm more appreciative of those cards that I have received, where somebody took a card like that and said, to a wonderful pastor, we're grateful for you. And they cross out the word pastor, and they write the word preacher. And when I see that, my heart just jumps. Because I know that person knows the difference in the New Testament between a pastor and a preacher. The word pastor is used for elders. We'll get to that in just a minute. The word pastor is never used to describe a preacher. Now, it is true that you do have Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, who is a preacher, and he is an elder, he is a pastor, he's both, and you can't have that if the man fulfills the qualifications. But the point is that you should not address the preacher, according to the New Testament, as a pastor. Protestantism does, Catholicism does, other religious groups do, but it's not in the New Testament. Call a man a preacher, call him a minister, call him an evangelist, any of those words would certainly apply. And also, as we said, there is no separation between preachers and the members. A preacher is to be in submission to the elders in the congregation, just like all the members are. We'll get to that a little bit later. Now, there are four words in the New Testament that really describe the elders and the work that they do. One is this word presbyteros, and the word presbyteros usually is translated elder. It is the idea of someone who has some maturity, a man who is wise in some ways, a man who can give good advice. Another word, a second word, is the word episkopos. The word episkopos really is translated in the King James Version as bishop. Most translations now, after the King James Version, call it an overseer. The word episkopos is from two Greek words, the word epi and skopeo. Epi means to be over, skopeo means to see. It is to be an overseer. Some people have translated maybe as a manager. That could be a way of translating, but it is somebody who is in charge and given the charge of something else. Then there is the word poimen. Poimen is often translated pastor, or it could be translated shepherd. Peter is said to be a poimen here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and Jesus is the chief poimen. He's the chief shepherd. He said, I am the good poimen, I am the good shepherd, and we are to take Jesus as the example as a pastor over a flock. And that's what elders are. They are the pastors over a flock of God's people. Now the fourth word that isn't used very much, but still applies, is the word steward. In Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul tells Timothy that he, or Titus rather, that he is to appoint elders in Crete. He says, and then he gives the qualifications of them. He says, as a man must be blameless as the steward of God. Now, a steward in the Bible is someone who is entrusted with something else. You don't own it. You are given the responsibility of taking care of it for the one who does own it. He is kind of like an overseer, or maybe a manager for a farm, or for a house, or for a business. And Paul describes elders in that way. The church does not belong to the elders. They do not own the flock. They are the stewards to take care of the flock. And in that way, they are serving God. So we have these four words, elder, bishop, pastor, and steward. Any of those four would certainly apply. Now let's look at those individually for just a moment. Sometimes in a word, you can really get the idea of what the job of a man is by the very word that's used to describe his particular job. Say the word bookkeeper. What is the work of a bookkeeper? It's a man who keeps the books. Or we might even say a teacher. What is the role of a teacher? Well, it's a person who would teach in a classroom situation. The same thing with this word bishop. He is a translation of the word episkopos. He is an overseer, and that means that he does have some judgment ability. Now, some people have said, and I've heard it said even in this congregation, that we're to look at the church as a business. And I hope if you ever think of that, that you would get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. Because the church is not a business. Has never been a business. Never will be a business. Yes, there are Protestant and Catholic churches that do run it like a business. Yes, there are people who think, well, we're going to make a profit. We've got to be a business. Where do you find the word profit in the New Testament? Where do you find any apostle or anybody saying that we're to make money, that this is a business? Never. It is a flock. It is a family. It is the house of God. It is God's temple. It is God's people. All those and other images are given in the New Testament, but it's never, ever compared to a business. What is the purpose of a business? The purpose of a business is one thing. No matter what you may say, the real purpose of a business is to make money. That's not wrong. That's not wrong at all. If I want to sell this particular item, and it costs me $1 to make this item, and I say, well, it costs me $1 to make it, but I'll sell it for $3, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly all right. It is a business, whatever your business might be. But the Lord's church, it's like you don't run your family about a business. The Lord's church is not to be like a business. But there are people that have to make decisions. That is the role of the elders. The elders have authority. It is in the area of judgment. And this word to be episkopos means that they have to make decisions. Every command God has given, by the very nature of it, there are going to be decisions. God gives us the command to assemble together on the first day of the week. Well, that's the command. But what time? How long will we assemble? I've been in some assemblies where it was 2 hours long. I've been in some of them 2.5 hours long. Elders need to decide, are we going to be in service for 2.5 hours? Are we going to be in service for 1 hour? What is the length of time for our service? What time will we meet? Will we meet at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Have one service at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? What time is the best time for us to meet? Now, somebody's got to make those kind of decisions. Those are not matters of faith. Those are matters of judgment. And that's where the elders have their authority, in the area of judgment. Now, the second word that we looked at is this word pastor or shepherd. It is really the idea who is a spiritual counselor. It is one who leads the sheep and who can care for the sheep and protect the sheep. And the elder has to be one who wants to do that. There have been times when I've heard a man say, I heard an elder say one time, well, we'll just sit at the building and if people want to talk to us, they know that we'll be here. That's not what a shepherd does. He doesn't sit on the hillside and say, well, if the sheep want to be fed, they'll come to me. No. The shepherd leads the sheep and feeds them where they can have good food, where they can have clear, clean water, where they can have good water to drink. That's what the shepherd does. He doesn't sit back and say, well, they want it, they can come talk to me. To me, that is not the work of the elder or the pastor. He is to be visiting and talking to the brethren. Now, there are many times when in talking to people, you might say, are you having any problems? It's been my experience, most people just say, no, not really. No, everything seems to be going pretty good. We're doing all right. But every once in a while, there is a time when somebody says, I've got a question. Something I've been wanting to talk to one of the elders about, talk to one of the pastors. Could I ask you this question? So elders need to be available, need to be ready to answer and talk to people when they ask those questions. And then the third word we looked at was the word elder itself. It really implies someone who has some wisdom, someone who can make up his mind, someone who can help others to do things. The word elder really is the idea of one who helps people do things that they are charged to do, but helping them to do it correctly. The idea is that if a person says, I want to study, well, the elder will say, well, let me help you get a Bible study program that you can really learn the Word of God. Study at your home. That's wonderful. Person might say, do you have other materials? Suppose someone says, I've got a friend at work, and he's a Muslim, and he's always talking about the Muslim religion. He's always talking about, do you have any materials that help me to talk to a Muslim about the Bible, about his faith? Well, they may not have anything on hand, but he says, but I'll find some, I'll get some, we'll get you the materials that you can talk to your friend. An elder can make decisions and needs to be making decisions for the body of Christ. And then the fourth word was that word steward. And that's where some men have fallen down. Because some men have the idea that they are in charge, they call the shots, they make the decisions, therefore everybody ought to bow down to them. That's just not true. When Peter wrote 1 Peter chapter 5, he said elders are not to be lords over the flock. One translation of the Bible, while it was rather loose in some ways, put it that verse this way. It says, elders are not to be little tin gods. And I thought, well, that certainly gets the idea across. They are to be examples. They are to be pastors. They are to be shepherds for the flock and do everything that they can for the flock of God's people. Now, there are some things that in each of these words, which we'll look at in further lessons, other lessons. But I just want to think one more time about this word pastor. When you look at the shepherds throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament for that matter, you find the idea that God has said when you just look at what they did. When you look at Luke chapter 2, the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born, it's in the evening time. And they're out on the hill. It's obviously in either the spring or the summertime. But they're watching the flock at night. And I thought about that in regard to shepherds and pastors. Because there are times when shepherds, elders are called to do things in the middle of the night. On more than one occasion, I've been asked to go with one of the elders to see somebody in the middle of the night. There are times when people have problems and difficulties, and they're not going to wait until the next day. They want to talk about it at that point when the problem's going on. And if it's 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, so be it. Shepherds don't punch a clock, and pastors for the Lord's church don't punch a clock either. Also, when I look at the shepherds in the Old Testament, I think of David. He was a shepherd. I think about how David, when he was about to fight Goliath, and King Saul said, you're just a boy. He's been a warrior all of his life. You can't fight him. David said, I fought the lion, and killed the lion. I fought the bear, and killed the bear. That shows me two things. Number one, sometimes elders are going to be in real tough, tough situations, just like a shepherd. A shepherd sometimes has to face the lion. Sometimes the shepherd has to face the bear. And he's got to be able to protect the flock by facing the bear and the lion. And sometimes elders have to do that. I know of one congregation where a man was preaching false doctrine, and in the middle of the sermon, the elder didn't know what to do. And so he just stands up and tells the song, lead us in the invitation song. The guy got up and led the invitation song. That may not have been the best decision. He may have just waited until the sermon was over and God said, this man preached false doctrine, we don't agree with it. We'll have a lesson tonight to show where the man was in error, something of that nature. But there are times when elders have to make decisions about tough, tough situations. And it may be in the middle of a worship service. One thing that brethren have talked about quite a bit was protection. Because people had never thought that there would be times when people would run into church buildings and just start shooting aimlessly at whoever they could shoot. And it's a terrible thing. So elders have had to make some decisions about things of that nature. Sometimes they do have to make very difficult situations and difficult judgments, just like David did with the bear and the lion. And then the third thing I would say in regard to the pastor, he is to have a very strong devotional life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what David said. And as a shepherd, he knew the Lord was his shepherd. And every shepherd or pastor needs to have that relationship with God. He's not put into the eldership just so we can say we have elders. He's not put into the eldership just so that we can have somebody to blame things on. He is there so that he could shepherd the flock. Sometimes it means feeding people directly himself. Sometimes it is hiring a preacher. Sometimes it's making decisions about the Sunday school. All kinds of things happen. But the role of the shepherd is to feed and care for the flock of God. Now, one more thing that elders have to do, as shepherds, as the bishops, as the overseers, as the elders, they must guard the church. And there are going to be a time when elders aren't going to give an account. Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13. They are going to be held accountable for what they did, how they acted as elders, and as eldership, as a group in the church. Some men are going to have a lot to answer for. Some men are going to have to answer for the fact that they did not take the role seriously. Some men are going to have to answer for the fact that they were not the example. You know, one man in Arkansas was arrested. He had cheated in his business, was arrested publicly, spent time in jail, and he was never disciplined by the rest of the congregation, by the elders, for what he did, for the crimes that he committed, and for the time that he spent in jail. He was an elder before that, goes to jail, 2 years later, comes out of jail, goes back to being an elder, nobody ever says a word about it. What a sad, sad situation. Some people are going to have an answer for a lot of things. But elders must protect the church just like the shepherd protects the flock. They must protect the church. And sometimes it may mean hurting somebody's feelings. Somebody might say, well, I've got this brother-in-law who's a great preacher. Why don't you let him preach? And the elder's going to have to sit down and say, because your brother-in-law's a false teacher. Your brother-in-law doesn't believe in the second coming of Christ. Your brother-in-law doesn't believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Your brother-in-law doesn't believe in the vicarious nature of the death of Christ. And you want a man like that in the pulpit? You want to let your brother-in-law preach when he can preach any of those false teachings? It may hurt somebody's feelings. But he's got to protect the flock. Now, there are things that we will talk about that we must do in regard to our response to the elders. But the first thing we must do is pray. Pray that we will have men who will have wisdom, men who will have the ability to guide us, men who will be able to lead in various ways, men who will be willing to really be pastors and shepherds over the flock, we need to pray. I hope and pray that we will, not only in this area, but in the area of finding a preacher, in all areas of life, that we'll be praying for the Lord's church to grow individually and in numbers, spiritually, in our relationships with each other, that we will all grow as close to Christ as we possibly can. Now we're going to sing an invitation to obey the gospel. I invite you to do that this morning. Believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. This is not my doctrine, it's not Church of Christ doctrine, it's not any man's doctrine, it's what Jesus Christ said. The Lord Jesus Christ gave those commandments. If you haven't obeyed that gospel, why not do that this morning? If you haven't lived a Christian life, if you know you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, you need to repent of things that may be wrong, why not do that this morning? If you need to have prayer for yourself or somebody else, we'd be glad to pray with you. However,